Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Dying to Live, Letting Go of Earthly Pleasures to Find Eternal Joy, by Margaret Jen Burke. Narrated by Susan Hanfield. 1. The Discipleship Study. When Jesus predicted his death in the New Testament, he also said he would be raised to life again on the third day. But when Jesus was crucified, his disciples became overwhelmed by the reality of his absence and were too distracted by Friday's events to remember that Sunday was coming. They denied knowing him. They deserted him at the cross. They doubted whom he claimed to be. Each time I read the Gospels, I find myself wishing I could travel back in time, not only to hear Jesus teach, but because someone needs to slap some sense into the 12 disciples. Even when Mary Magdalene told them Jesus had, in fact, risen from the dead, they didn't believe her. After living with and learning from the Son of Man for years, and being told several times about the events that would take place, they simply didn't remember. It's easy to be annoyed by this, isn't it? But you know what? We're stuck on Saturday too, largely devaluing the future fulfillment of a miracle promise, Jesus' second and final coming. We're just as distracted, deserting, and doubtful. We also don't like to wait. In his article, The Psychology of Waiting Lines, David Meister explains the human mindset associated with having to wait. He mentions that if a season of waiting is uncertain or unexplained, it seems longer to us than a season of waiting that is defined and easily understood. Although waiting aimlessly or indefinitely can make us angry, antsy, or afraid, it also makes us weary. It causes us to experience a tiredness that rapidly steers us to distraction. It tricks us into thinking that there are more important, urgent things ahead. It diminishes the value of whatever it is we're waiting for. Late last spring, my husband Carson and I were in our kitchen discussing summer plans. His work schedule had become unusually busy, and he wanted to make sure his calendar matched mine. I mentioned a few dates: our anniversary trip in June, a weekend with his parents for the 4th of July, a wedding in early August. I unknowingly listed them in order of importance based on their eventual arrival, not bothering to include the small things we also had on the calendar or things that were okay for him to miss. A bit later, while reading a passage from the book of James, I realized I'd spent the better part of 25 years making both spontaneous and calculated plans without acknowledging Jesus or his return. If, when comparing calendars with my husband, I had said, "Well, we have an anniversary trip, so-and-so's wedding, and, oh yeah, Jesus might return," he would have laughed it off and told me I wasn't normal, because that's not normal. And if it's not something that's normal to talk about, it's clearly not something normal to anticipate. Does his arrival feel uncertain, non-urgent, because there isn't a specific date or time attached to it? Or have we postured ourselves in a way that diminishes, on a fundamental level, the reality of his return at all? Has anyone ever critiqued your posture or reminded you to stand up straight with your shoulders back? While this feels old-fashioned, high societal, and stuffy, good posture is vital to physical health. Simply put, it's how the body maintains balance and flexibility in coordination with the head, hips, and shoulders. If we don't have the natural ability to keep our shoulders back, our chin level, our hips even, or if we've suffered an injury or illness that keep us from doing so, we may experience
Sample complete. Ready to continue?